bad, because you can hide your own Easter eggs. And you can read the same newspaper every day. It's just fresh news, you know. Thank you, Pastor, so much. And my wife said to the doctor, said, I think I have Alzheimer's. Dr. Pearson said, well, Miss Gray, why do you say that? Because I can't find my car keys. And he said, no, Mrs. Gray, it's when you don't know whether you have a car or not. That's how you know you've got Alzheimer's. And thank you for the motel. Thank you for the fruit, the basket that I had, and the fruit that was in it, the applesauce, the apple juice, the bottled water, the Bud Light. if you're visiting tonight, I'm kidding. I said that 2 years ago, and the lady said out loud, hey, this is my kind of church right here, boy. But you've been so kind, and I appreciate it. I love coming here. I love fellowshipping with your pastor, and what a great mind he has. He has a great, great mind. It's a mind of a three-year-old, but it's a great, great mind. And what a prolific writer he is. I'm impressed with his writing, and hopefully I hope he writes a lot of books. By the way, speaking of books, I have some books over here. The hardbacks are $20 a piece, and the paperbacks are $10. I should have mentioned that this morning. I apologize for not mentioning that, but you can go and get those books over there. I've written 35 books. I've got a new one coming out this summer, Lord willing, on the Lost Commandment. We're tearing down statues of people of the past because we say they're flawed. Well, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the flawed people are tearing down statues of the flawed people, and it's ridiculous, really. Thank God for our history, good and bad, because we learn from it. But anyway, that's another book coming out, Lord willing. But thank you for letting me come. Thank you for, and who would have thought there'd be an old-fashioned church in New England? But this is where it started. The great revivals in America started in New England, and just absolutely swept our nation. And now I think it's time to come back to New England and start that fire again. And your pastor's a part of that. And I want to commend him and commend you for supporting him in it also. Take your Bibles. It's as nice as I'm going to be to you. That's it. That's it. I was preaching one Sunday morning. A guy fell asleep over here while I was, and started snoring. And so I said, hey, wake that guy up. And the guy next to him said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. I've pastored a bunch of smart alecks is what I did. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture. If I move too quickly, I want you to get your pen out and jot the reference down. And so, forgive me, I lived in Michigan for 20 years, so I've got some Yankee in me. And I may talk too fast. I don't mean to. My wife was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Bronson Hospital. I was born in Arkansas and moved to Michigan when I was 5 and spent 20 years up there. She's a Yankee. God bless her. I went up behind enemy lines and rescued her and took her south. And you Yankees don't know how to cook chicken. Just admit it. You just don't know how to do it. You're supposed to fry chicken, not boil chicken and broil it. You're supposed to fry it. In fact, you've never plucked a chicken in your life. If you had, you'd see on the end where God put on there "fry only" on the you want to put it in week old grease. That's what you want to do, and bacon bits in it, and baptize that thing. But anyway, and okra. Well, you ruin okra. Okra is meant to be fried. You boil it, and it's like swallowing snot. It's just nothing. It's just nothing to it. And Romans chapter 1, now that you're awake, Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment, if you would. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. The Scripture says this, for God is my witness, whom I serve. Now look at this prepositional phrase here. With my spirit. Now if you'll notice, the word spirit there is a small s. It's not a capital S. The capital S in the Scriptures referring to the Holy Spirit. The small s is referring to our spirit, man's spirit. And so he said, with my spirit. Now that's a very important statement, made here by the writer. In the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now in Acts chapter 2, there were about 120 in that upper room. The power of God fell on that church. It was not the people who didn't show up that made a difference. It was the people who did show up that make a difference. So when you say to yourself, boy, our attendance is down and we're weak. No, no, no. It's not the people that stayed home that make a difference. It's the people that show up that make a difference. In the scripture, in Acts chapter 2, you have the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You have personal filling of the Holy Spirit. But you also have the endowment of power that comes down on a corporate body, that comes down on a church. It's don't look around and say, who's not here? You look around and say, I'm here. And I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I need His power. I've got to have His power. Now, your spirit is connected to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you in Scripture where it is that way. Now, tonight, if there's anybody in the whole wide world that can come in here and stand next to you or sit next to you and ruin your night, then there's something wrong with your spirit. If there's any subject matter that when you think of it, boy, it just ticks you off, then you have to understand it's affected your spirit, which has affected the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you from Scripture. Tonight, we need the power of God. It's not the people who are not here that make a difference. It's the people who show up tonight that make a difference. If He can take 120 and 3,000 get saved in one day and baptized in one day, then He can take this great crowd tonight in this church and do the miraculous with it. Again, let me say, get that negative thought out of your mind that we're weak because we have a small attendance. Because there were hundreds that have been saved, but there are only 120 show up at prayer meeting. You've had hundreds saved here, but they're not all here tonight. And God is looking not to the ones who don't come, but He's looking to you who have come, and He's looking at your spirit to figure out whether or not He wants to give you His power. Your spirit indicates to God how much He can trust you. Because some of you could use the Holy Spirit to hurt people. And God will not allow that to happen. So He won't give you that power if your spirit is not right. I hope you understand what I'm saying so far. We're going to take a look at the Scripture. We're going to prove it from the Bible. This is not Grayology. This is Bibleology. And I've never said that before. Bibleology. Is that a word? It is now. And I have a doctor's degree. But anyway, I have two, so I'm a paradox. I have three, so I'm a trinity. But never mind. And so I want to talk to you about the key to the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Now, this is very, very important. This sermon, when I preached it to our people after we'd had a major split in 1981, it absolutely gave us fresh air. It gave us a fresh start. It was amazing what God did when we learned this truth together as pastor and people. So I want to help you tonight, so I hope that you'll follow me. If I move too quickly, just jot the reference down, and please forgive me. But there's a great truth here. I want you to get it tonight. I want you to get it. You've got probably one of the top pastors in America. You don't know it. You don't know it. And you've got one of a great man with a great mind, and he has the power of God on him. But he can't do it alone. The last year I pastored, we baptized 4,464 people. 153 of those were ones God allowed me to lead to Christ, pick up, and bring to church. So I did my part. But where did the other 4,300 come from? They came from the church members. They didn't come from me. You're asking, now, why are we still standing? I know what you're asking. I want you to know how I feel. I want to talk to you about the key to the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Father, help me now. Lord, you know I've travailed over this. Lord, I've got 700 sermons I've never even preached. I've got thousands of sermons that I've preached around the country. But I sense tonight that this is special. I sense tonight that you want to do a special work here. And God, I beg you for your help. Holy Spirit of God, flow through me. Help me to help, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. I'm going to try to lay a groundwork here and some foundation for this sermon on the key to the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Scripture tells us those that are going to hell. In Matthew 10, 28, he says this, "And fear not them which kill the body." Underline that. That's the first part. The body. "But are not able to kill the soul." Underline that. "And rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now in Matthew 10, 28, God says the people that are going to hell have a body, have a soul, but no mention of a spirit. The spirit is dead. And so the people that you see walking around, they're alive, but they're dead. Because their spirit is dead. You see, the spirit of man communicates with God. The soul of man communicates with other human beings. The body communicates to Pizza Hut and Burger King and McDonald's. That was funny. And some of you, never mind. Some of us. But, you know, the spirit can't communicate with God if it's dead. So he says here, the people are going to hell, have a body, have a soul, but no mention of a spirit. Now take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians with me, please. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, we've discovered from the Scripture that the person going to hell has a body and a soul, but no mention of a spirit, because the spirit is dead in the sight of God. Now, in Ephesians 2, 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened." Now, underline the word quickened. That means brought to life. Brought to life. Quickened. Brought to life. All right? "And you hath he quickened who were," past tense, "dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," small s, "that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, God says that the man who's lost has a body and a soul, his spirit is dead. But Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says you have a spirit of disobedience in you. You got a devil in you. Now, please understand that you could have many devils, but only one Holy Spirit. But if you're here tonight and you're saved because God brought to life your spirit. He quickened your spirit and brought it to life. Now you can communicate to God. That's why the Bible says lost people are blind. They're in darkness. They have a veil over their eyes. Why? Their spirit is dead. They can't communicate to God. That's why you come up with reincarnation. You come up with all these isms around the world because they're blind to the truth of the Word of God. Now, please understand tonight, I'm talking to saved sinners and unsaved sinners tonight. You may be here tonight and not saved, but still a sinner. If you're saved, you're still a sinner. If you're unsaved tonight, don't judge Jesus by us. We are terrible examples. That's why I don't put a bumper sticker on my car. "Follow me to the church that loves people," as I cut you off. I was taking my wife to the hospital and driving down the road, and this woman cuts me off. And I go in the ditch and bump like that and come back. I thought, what in the world? So I floorboarded that caddy, buddy, pulled that thing around, got around. So I pulled that power window down. I fixed to give her a piece of my mind. And my wife looks at me and says, "Honey, don't do that. They may be one of our church members." I hate a spiritual woman. And then she said, "And they think we're Christians." Anyway, that hurt. That hurt. So I don't have bumper stickers on my car. And don't judge Jesus by us. We're terrible examples. We've got tempers. We're stubborn. We're bullheaded. And it's just the way. That's just men. That's not you women. I mean, but moving along here. All right. Now, he says very clearly in Matthew 10, 28, that the one going to hell has a body, a soul, but no mention of a spirit. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, he says, the people who are saved are quickened or brought to life. What part is brought to life? The spirit of that man is brought to life by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The shed blood is applied to your soul, and your soul, according to Peter, is purified, and the Bible says sealed. God seals your soul, not your body. The wages of sin is death. You're getting older. You have bifocals, trifocals, and bulges and bunions everywhere in the world. and hair grows where it's not supposed to grow. And you're getting old. Why? Because the body's going to die. God does not promise that you'll not die physically. But He does promise that you'll not die spiritually. If you trust the Son of God, His shed blood applied purifies. It's the only cleansing agent in the Bible. Now, with that in mind, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, the Scripture says this, "And the very God of peace," if I move too quickly, I apologize, just jot it down, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. It's like the whole pie. Why did I say that? I am hungry. All right. Is any of that food left from this morning? Good. I don't like Hindu food. All right. So here we go. You holy. And I pray, God, your whole. Circle. W-H-O-L-E. So very specifically, God's pointing out something here, that the person who is saved is a whole person. I think sometimes we look and see people healed in the Bible, and it says whole, made whole. All we think about is the physical. No, no, no. To be made whole means born again. It means saved. All right? Whole spirit and soul and body. So underline the word spirit, the word soul and body. Whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in Matthew 10:28, the person going to hell has a body, soul, no mention of the spirit. Why? His spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. Now, Ephesians 2:1-2 says, the people that get saved are quickened. They're brought to life. What part is brought to life? The soul is there. The body is there. The part that's brought to life is the spirit of a man. And that's what's brought to life under the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul. It's brought to life. Now, the Bible says here, you're whole now. You're a whole person. Who's going to be raptured? Those that have a body, soul, and their spirit is alive. Those are the ones that will be raptured. You're a whole person. If you're unsaved tonight, you're not complete. You're not a whole person. And that's why you scratch your head at some of the preaching. And you scratch your head at some of the teachings. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. It's because you're blind in the sight of God. Now, that's why we cannot afford to sit here and wait for people in darkness to find the light. We sit here with the light like this. We've got to take the light and go into the darkness. And come on, somebody say amen now. We've got to reach them with the light. They're lost. You're found. Well, don't sit here and wait for those that are lost walking around like, no, you've got to go out and find them. You lead them to the Savior. You win them over to the Savior. All right? Now, take your pens and do something for me here. I want you to draw about the size of a half dollar. Do they make half dollars anymore? I don't even know if they do or not. I've been so long since I've seen them. Anyway, just draw a circle. Obey me. Draw a circle. Like, boy, this is a disobedient bunch tonight. Draw about a size of a half dollar. Oh, you got it? You got it? If you need a pen, I got a pen here. Draw like that. There you go. Now, that's the body. Now, draw a smaller circle on the inside. Let that be the soul. Smaller circle on the inside. The outside circle is that of the body. A smaller inside circle is that of the soul. Now, on the very inside, draw a little bitty circle like that. Little bitty circle like that. And then darken that little bitty circle. Darken it. Darken it. That's the man that's lost. He has a body, soul, but his spirit is dead in the sight of God. It's in darkness. And he's blind to the things of God. So you have a half dollar. The outside circle is the body. The smaller circle is the soul. And the little bitty circle inside is the spirit of a man. And it's in darkness. Now, below that, draw another half dollar. Draw another half dollar before that. You got it? Another half dollar. That's the body. Now, draw a little one on the inside. That's the soul. And then a little bitty circle on the inside. But don't darken that one. Don't darken that one. That's the picture of a man who's saved. The man who's saved has a body, soul, and his spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit brings to life the spirit of a man. Again, if you're headed for hell tonight, it's because your spirit's dead. If you kept scratching your head about everything going on around here, you don't understand why people are saying amen and glory to God and hallelujah. They're excited. Well, get saved. Get born again. And then you can have, you see what the rest of us see. And now, so you've got one is an unsaved sinner and the other one's a saved sinner. Now, take the second half dollar and darken the soul part, the circle of the soul part. Darken it like that. That's the part that's sealed. The body is not sealed. It is the soul that is sealed. And the Holy Spirit is born in the spirit of a man. But he, when that happens, the blood cleanses immediately and he seals that soul so that sin, your soul cannot sin. Sin can't get in there. You cannot, according to 1 John, very clearly in Scripture. Now, with that in mind, get your Bibles with me, please, and turn to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, and you'll see exactly what the Scripture, how the Scripture verifies what I just said. John chapter 3 and verse 5. You're very familiar with John chapter 3, being born again, that chapter. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now, is that a capital S or small S? Capital S. Is that the Holy Spirit or man's spirit? Holy Spirit. The Spirit, he said, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Boy, a lot of people fuss about, what's it mean by water? Is that baptism? And you read a lot of commentaries about that. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The best definition, the Bible says rightly divide the Word of God. It does not say rightly divide the Greek. It says rightly divide the Word of God. It does not say rightly divide the Hebrew. We've got a bunch of seminary professors who say, claiming that they've seen the originals. They look like they're old enough to have seen the originals. That was funny. That which is born, verse 6 explains verse 5. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. I have an arrow in my Bible pointed towards the word water. Talking about human beings. Angels can't get saved. Angels can't get born again. They peer in tonight and wonder why we're excited. Or some of us are excited. All right? That's just born. You're just not going to laugh tonight, are you? The flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, the first spirit, is that Holy Spirit or man's spirit? Holy Spirit. Second spirit, is that Holy Spirit or man's spirit? Wow, did you see what he just said here? He said the Holy Spirit's born in that inner circle on the inside in your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit is born. Now, go to John chapter 4 with me, please. John chapter 4. And let's take a look at verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, underline that. Apparently, what we're going to describe here, what God is describing in Scripture here, are true worshipers. Would you agree with me that that means that they're false worshipers? Absolutely. So he says, true worshipers, the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? Spirit. In what? I can't hear you. In what? Spirit. Is that Holy Spirit or man's spirit? Hot dog. Ain't that something? He said, that which is born shall worship the Father in spirit. So, what comes first? After that, he says, and in what? Truth. Help me. Which comes first? The spirit of the man or the truth of God? The spirit of man. God is looking tonight for Christians who have a good spirit. God's looking for people tonight who are born again. They know God. They're saved on their way to heaven and their spirit is right. And God said, I can trust you with truth. But if there's anybody in the whole wide world can walk in here, sit down next to you and just ruin your night. I mean, just ruin your night. You'll never get truth in the Bible. If there's anything in your life that just bothers you, to no end it bothers you, and the very thought of it, you just tighten up over it, then you can never get the truth from the Word of God. Because that truth is given to those who have a good spirit. Now, what's your spirit like tonight? Now, let me tell you the problem. The problem is not pornography tonight in this church. The problem tonight is not alcoholism. The problem tonight is not the sensual sins of this world. The problem is our sins of the spirit. That's what God says about His people. My problem, the way we preach hellfire, damnation, premillennial, we're temperamental, King James only, and buddy, are you against? Yes, I'll fill it in. So somewhere in here, you've got to understand something tonight. God is looking for somebody who has a good spirit. Everybody has it as rough as you have it. Everybody's assets and liabilities. Everybody's got liabilities. I don't care who you are. And tonight you can sit around and gripe and complain about it and bellyache it, but you'll never have the power of God. You can sit around and say, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's all right. Say it. Complain about it. Gripe about it. Kick about it. But you'll never have the power of God. See, the people that stayed away from that upper room, 120, there was something wrong. There was something that said, I ain't going down to that church. There's a bunch of hypocrites down there. There was something wrong. Now, they missed out on the power of God. They missed out on 3,000 people getting saved. All you men stand up now. All you men stand up. All you men say, you got pants on, stand up. Stand up. Now, look, I'm not going to preach myself hoarse and you not say amen to me. Now, quit sounding like a bunch of timid Methodists. And on the count of three, say amen. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
That's not good enough. One, two, three.
Amen.
Sit down and keep it up. Saying amen doesn't mean you're spiritual, but the dead sure keep you awake. Now, he says here, shall true worshipers, who are those? They worship the Father in spirit. Their spirit's right. Look, I got problems. I'm married too. My wife's an angel, always up in the air, harping about something. Yeah, we have a fight, but she comes back to me on her knees and said, get out beneath that bed and face me like a man. But anyway. Look, you know what some of you need to do? Get a joke book. It's exactly what you need to do. Some of you women haven't smiled since I've been here the last 3 years. You haven't smiled yet. If you ever did, you'd crack your face and bleed to death. And if you're single and don't smile, you'll never get married. Moving along here. All right. True worshipers. God said there are true worshipers and there are false worshipers. Who are the false worshipers? Those who have bad spirits. God is looking for somebody who's got a good spirit. Learn to say amen. I have a grandson, RG, I mentioned to him. They say he'd never live. He'd never walk. He'd never talk. He'd never see. And he would die as an infant. He's 29 years of age now. He has the mind of a child. He walks pigeon-toed. His arms are longer than his digits, fingers are longer than they should be. And they had to take the frontal lobe off and reshape it to put it back on so he had some semblance of looking normal. The medication he takes is so strong that he has boils all over him. And RG, he smiles all the time. I'm telling you, I envy his spirit. Now, bless his heart, he thinks all you people are abnormal. He thinks he's the only normal one in the whole wide world. And when he was able to get out, I would go soul winning with him. And one time we were leading to children. I don't know what RG comprehends or what he doesn't comprehend. But I was giving the gospel out to some children. And some teenagers came around the corner and called my grandson a freak. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm a grandparent. Oh, boy. I want to go over there and whip their rear ends in Jesus' name. It hurt. It hurt. And I immediately looked at RG and I thought, did he hear what they said? Does he comprehend? But we went ahead and finished the gospel presentation. We started going back to the car and man, I started crying. I thought, does this happen to him when he goes into public? This can't be right. And so I sat in the front seat. He sat. He buckled up. I buckled up. And I lost it. I laid my head on the steering wheel. And I started crying. And my grandson, RG, sitting over here, sitting there looking at me like that. And finally reached up and patted me on the shoulder. And here's what he said. It okay, Paul. It okay. Now, I don't know if he understood what happened or anything. If he saw the tears of his granddad. And he said, it okay. I wish I had that kind of spirit. I really do. I hurt like you hurt. I get mad like you get mad. I have to fight it all the time. And you should too, by the way. You shouldn't just roll over and just have a stinking bad spirit and because you think you deserve to have a pity party. You shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it at all. Why? Because we've got to reach the lost with the gospel. We've got to get people saved. And it'll never happen without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. No conviction, no conversion. Nobody's going to get saved without the power of the Holy Spirit. If I be lifted up, John 10:32, I will draw all men. Now, that doesn't mean that all men will get saved, but they'll all get an opportunity. God's not going to make anybody get saved. If you're here tonight on your way to hell, you want to go to hell, you're a big boy. Just do what you want to do. But if you don't want to go to hell, Jesus is available. Now, so please understand, look what do you see what he said there? True worshipers. What comes first, the truth or the Spirit? The Spirit does. I didn't make it up. It's what it says here. And it's not capital S either, small s. All right, let's look and see what else it says. Verse, the next verse. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, your spirit comes first. Now, here is something that's astounding. Go back to the previous verse. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Watch this. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. What does that mean? That means God's come to a service like this, and he goes from person to person. I'm looking for somebody whose spirit is right so I can give them truth. And God walks around church member to church member to church member looking for somebody whose spirit is right so that he can give them truth and give them power. Jack Hiles, he was my pastor. I love Brother Hiles. I was part of the first four-year class at Hiles Anderson College. Brother Pash and our dear brother back here, we were in college together. I didn't realize it, but we were. They turned them out, and I graduated. I'm kidding. Dr. Hiles had the power of God on him. And when I would preach with him, he would duck out and go straight to the room. And this went on for a long time. And finally, I asked him one day, I said, Brother Hiles, is there a reason that you do that? He said, with tears in his eyes, yes. He said, many a good sermon's been ruined by fellowship. I've never forgotten it. I love people. I love to joke. I love to be around people. But I don't want to quench the power of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this, quench not the Spirit. Say that with me. Quench not the Spirit. Talk to me now. Quench not the Spirit. Say it again. Quench not the Spirit. How do you quench it? With your spirit. God said, I've got power that created the worlds and this earth, and the axis is just right so we don't freeze and don't burn up. God said, I've created your body. You're magnificent. The body that God has created, you're not going to go home tonight and wet your fingers and stick it in the socket to recharge for tomorrow. No, God's given you everything that you need. God is a wonderful, wonderful God. But God is saying, I want to give you my power, but I can't give it to you if you got a bad attitude. Can't do it. Will not do it. Refuse to do it. And when I hear Brother Hiles preach, I would sit there, my mouth open. I said, where did he get that from? I'm reading the same Bible. I was in Wyoming with him Tuesday. Boy, he slammed it out of the ballpark. Man, it was tremendous. Going back to the motel, I said, Brother Hiles, where did you get that? Here's what he said. Out of the Bible, y'all try reading it. Smart aleck. John Rice had a great spirit. Lee Robertson, great spirit. Lester Roloff, tremendous spirit. I preached with all these men. Jack Hiles, great spirit. All these men, Carl Hatch, great spirit, great spirit. And they were always on top side. I don't care what they were facing. I remember when Sumner went after Brother Hiles in a national smear campaign. And the first time I was with him, I was hurt. I was hurt for him. And when I got off the plane, he got off the plane, and we were walking together in Minnesota. And he looked at me and he said, Bob, what in the world is the matter with you? And I said, Preacher, I started crying. I said, Preacher, I'm hurting for you. He said, well, son, get out of that pity party. Let's go win somebody to Christ. Let's get with it, man. We can't afford to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves. Now, that was his attitude. No wonder God could trust him. No wonder God could pour out his power. Hey, that same God, he doesn't love Jack Hiles more than he does you. He doesn't love Lee Robertson more than he does you. Now, he loves me more than you, but that's not. But I'm just saying, God wants to use you in a mighty way, but he can't do it as long as you've got a stupid, bad spirit. When you're upset about anybody or anything, God cannot give you his power. He'll not give you truth. Oh, listen, you please understand, God is saying here there are true worshipers and there are false worshipers. The true worshipers want to have got a good spirit. And the Bible says, quench not the spirit. Where's the Spirit born? In your spirit. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse... Is this helping you? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9. In 2 Kings 2 verse 9, you know Elijah is the man of God. Elisha's the preacher boy. You know Elijah had a school of the prophets. You remember that? And he was training these young men of God. He was getting ready to cross over a river. You remember that? And the preacher boys decided they want to stay on this side. They weren't going to go with him. But Elisha said, "Man of God, you're not getting out of my sight. Now you're not doing it. If it's torrents and you're crossing, I'm crossing with you. The rest of them may be scared to go with you, but I'm going with you." Now, in 2 Kings 2:9, and by the way, let me caution you because we read the Bible too quickly. Well, slow down a little bit when we read the Bible. You'd be amazed at what God will teach you if you'll slow down a little bit. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, look at it. Don't forget now, Elijah's the man of God. Elisha's the preacher boy. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that's the river, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Careful, careful, careful. And Elisha, the preacher boy, said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." I go into meetings and young preachers will come and say, "Would you lay hands on me and pray? I'll get a double portion of the Holy Spirit." I say, "I can't do that. There's only one Holy Spirit." The question is, does he have all of you? That's the question. But he's talking here. Elisha's saying, "Boy, I like Elijah. I like your spirit. I want your spirit. And I not just your spirit, but I want a double portion of your spirit." I need a couple young men to help me here. Can you help me? Are you young? Yeah, come on up here. Can I use you, sir? Yes, come on up here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The Lord's coming. All right, here we go. All right, I want you to stand shoulder to shoulder and face the crowd. All right, there we go. Now, I'm going to let these two men represent the spirit of a man, okay? This is the spirit of a man. I'm going to represent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to get through your spirit to do the work that he has to do. But when you quench him, he can only do as much as you allow him to do. Now, open up just a little bit. If you give him this much room, then the Holy Spirit has that much to work with. You got it? If you give him this much room, then the Holy Spirit's got this much to work with. You got it? If you open up a little bit more, he's got more. If you open up all the way, you've got a Jack Hiles or Lee Robertson on your hands. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, an inch pipe will restrict the flow of the fluid. A 2-inch pipe will restrict the flow of the fluid, right? Some of your spirits tonight are the size of a juice cup at the Lord's supper table. Fill me, Lord. Okay, thank you. Trade it in for a cup size. Hit the altar tonight. Trade it in for a pitcher size. Hit the altar tonight. Say, "Dear God, forgive me. My spirit's not been right. Confess it is sin." Just like a drunkard. Just like a dope head. Because it's worse. People will die and go to hell. Now, here's what happens. Slowly come in. Here's what happens. Little things begin to happen in your life. And next thing you know, your spirit gets offended. Next thing you know, here you go. You don't realize it, but you're pushing the Holy Spirit back. And the Holy Spirit can't work. Then you wonder, why can't I get people saved? Why won't my converts come to church? And all because you don't even realize it, but you've quenched the Holy Spirit of God. That's why you ought to open up your spirit like this. See, thank you. Y'all have a seat. Give them a hand. Didn't they do a good job? So Elisha said, "I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit." Elijah, I like your spirit. I like your spirit. Listen, I was sitting down here in the front at a sword conference. Dr. Rice is sitting here. Dr. Howes is sitting here. And Jerry Falwell is sitting over here. This is years ago. And I looked up. And John Rice would reach over and untie Brother Howell's shoes. And then he'd turn real quick like this and look around, you know, like he did, see what was going on. And Brother Howell would look down and he'd tie his shoe. And then a little bit later, when Brother Howell was looking the other way, he'd reach over and untie that shoe. He was a little kid. When we had a birthday party for Dr. John Rice in Columbus, Ohio, we couldn't find him. It was his birthday. We were going to honor him. So they sent out search parties looking for him. You know where we found him? 3 blocks down playing hopscotch with a bunch of kids. That's John Rice. The smartest man I've ever known. He could have been president of the United States. Smart man. 20th century's mightiest pen didn't do him justice. Now, I'm just saying that all those men, they were great men. And they were fun to be around. And they were excited. And their spirit was right. What's yours like? Quit being an old grouch. Quit complaining. Quit belly aching. If you're on top side of the soil, you're okay. That was funny there, right there. Now, all right, I'll take your Bibles. If you want to turn to Acts 17 and verse 16. I haven't convinced some of you, have I? But let's take a look and see what further scripture here. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. I think the Apostle Paul, outside of our Savior, is probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament. I think probably the best soul winner in the Bible, outside of our Savior, was the Apostle Paul. Now, take a look at Acts 17 and verse 16. Let's see if we can't learn something about Paul. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his Spirit, capital S or small s? Small s. Holy Spirit or Paul's Spirit? Paul's Spirit. Watch it. His Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What was it that stirred in Paul's life? It was his Spirit that was stirred. And when he got excited, the Holy Spirit got excited. You see, look at it this way. The Holy Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit is sitting here. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to get excited about what God's excited about. But you're worried about the NBA finals. Will the Celtics, will they do it? Are you worried about your football team? Are you worried about this stupid thing and this stupid thing? And the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden one day you say, I think I'll go work a bus route on Saturday. And the Holy Spirit says, what? What was that? What did you say? You're going to work the bus route on Saturday? Oh, good. Man, I'm with you. Let's go. You see what I'm saying? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're saved. But He's sitting here. You and Him aren't connecting. I love sports. I love sports. I love it. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, there will be a Super Bowl. Who wants to eat and then not watch football? But the Cowboys won't be there. If we could get them out of jail, we might win a game or two. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about the Patriots. He doesn't care about the Panthers. He doesn't care about anybody but the Cowboys.
Amen.
God doesn't care. He turned His back on His own Son because of sin. If you'd been the only one born, sinned, and lived, He still would have let His Son die for you.
Yeah.
That's how much love He has. But you quench the Spirit of God because what you're interested in, what the Holy Spirit's interested in, are two different things.
No.
I ain't going to that church. He ain't going. Bunch of hypocrites. You know, I'm glad hypocrites come to church. Give them a chance to get right with God. But you rats who stay home, you know, if somebody is keeping you away from God, they're closer to God than you are. You're not thinking, are you? If somebody's standing between you and God, that means they're closer to God than you are. Get the Holy Spirit excited again. Get Him to where He's cheering for you again. Okay, did not Paul say to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in thee? You know, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Hey, Brother Howes would say, you're not going to have chapel every week. Stir yourself up. It's a jungle out there, he used to say over and over again. And when you become a pastor, you're not going to have me to stir you up on Thursday in chapel. Stir yourself up. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 5. Acts 18, verse 5. It says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit. Woo! There it is again. Over and over again in the Scripture, it tells us that his Spirit was stirred. That got the Holy Spirit excited. All right, go to Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. I'm just trying to show you from the Scripture that the Apostle Paul, his Spirit got excited, and that got the Holy Spirit excited. And what a combination. Keep your Spirit right. Keep your Spirit right so the Holy Spirit can flow through you. Quench not the Spirit. Where do you quench Him? In your Spirit. Look, the hardest thing I do is walk out of my bedroom with a suitcase going to the airport. I'm just telling you. It's the hardest thing I do. There are some times when my wife, bless her heart, she'll lay there on that bed. She'll just lay still, and that she has a poodle. I said to her one day, "I wish you'd loved me half as much as you do that poodle." She said, "I do." 15 minutes later, I said, "I think she just stabbed me. I don't know." But she'll lay there, and the poodle's about 7 pounds. And it'll jump on the bed, and I'll see her go like that. Just a little movement. And it kills me. That's the mother of our children. A grandmother, a great-grandmother. A great wife. And it just kills me. But I know what I have to do. I said to her one day, I went back, dropped the suitcase down. I said, "That's it. I forget it. The whole country can go to the devil. I'm not leaving." And she cried and she leaned up on the bed and she said, "You're going." She said, "If you think I'm going to stand before God and be the reason you don't travel and stir people up, you're crazy." I'm just telling you, everybody's got struggles. I'm just telling you, you've got struggles. You know, golfers who play golf for a living do other things that we do for pleasure, and yet we play golf for pleasure. Now, the way I play golf is not pleasurable. They don't cut the grass where I play. Okay, that was really funny. But Tiger Woods has a golf coach. He should have had a marriage coach. But anyway, I'm just saying, dude, life is... Everybody has assets and liabilities. Quit your pity party and confess it as sin. What are you ticked off about tonight? What are you mad and a hatter about? What is it? I'm telling you, I would say, "God, I'm sorry. That's keeping the power of God from flowing through me." You ought to have... Brother House had that global amnesia for a while. And sometimes when I travel with him, I get nervous. Because if he got up and kept repeating himself over and over again, he was having another attack. And I'd sit on a platform, and I think he was about to go in. And one time a pastor leaned over and he said, "Are you going to stop him? I'm going to stop him." I said, "Ain't neither one of us going to stop him. He can keep repeating himself until it's midnight. I ain't touching that man." Now, people look at the great Jack Hiles and they don't realize the struggles that he had. You have struggles, but he kept a good spirit. I'm going to suggest to you tonight that New England is here for the taking for Christ, but not without his power. And I'm going to suggest tonight that some of you could really be a part of a great move of God across this nation. That would start here. Your pastor's paid the price. The battle's been real. It's been real. But I haven't heard one complaining word from him. Never. And you and I tonight ought to keep our... If your spirit is right tonight, then come down and say, "God, help me to keep it right." If there's somebody in your life... Look, don't do what a lady in Oklahoma did after I taught this. She walked up to another lady and said, "I've hated your guts for years and I want to make it right." If you don't like me, don't tell me. Because to know me is to love me. And but I'm just saying, your spirit. Is your spirit right? Is it? Guard it. Keep it right. Let's stand. The pianist is going to come. The altar is open. And I'll say what I said this morning. The reason sinners don't walk the aisle is because you saints don't walk the aisle. Your horns are holding your halo up. I'd like to follow you around with a video camera. I bet I could find something to preach about. You and I are a flood to this altar because of the goodness of God and because God wants to use us. But he can't use you if your spirit's not right. If it is right, thank God for it. Ask him to help you. Altar's open. Come right now as the pianist plays. Come on.